Section 3. The Epistles. The current consensus in regard to the canonical epistles is best summarized in Bart Ehrman's book, Forged. 7 letters are commonly agreed to be authentically written by the Apostle Paul in or around the 50s AD. This dating is perhaps too gullibly based on Acts, but Paul certainly wrote before the Jewish War, which began in 66, and probably before the Neronian persecution of 64, if such there was, as neither are ever mentioned in his letters. And he wrote well after Aretas assumed control of Damascus, which he mentions in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 32, which was sometime between the years 37 and 40. And most, if not all, of his literary activity came 14 to 17 years after his conversion, all of which argues for his letters being written in the 50s. Now, those authentic letters are 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, and Philemon. With the possible exception of Philemon, which has no relevant content for our purposes, I think that assessment is probably correct, although we know that even these 7 letters have been meddled with. There is a plausible case to be made that Philemon is a forgery, based in part on the fact that it looks a lot like a letter written by Pliny the Younger almost a century later, according to Robert Price in the Pre-Nicene New Testament. However, Price's assumption in Note C on page 469 of that book, that a self-referencing inscription is telltale of forgery, is refuted by the fact that I have seen such things in actual letters recovered from the sands of Egypt. But even with that argument removed, a case for forgery remains, even if not a conclusive one. However that may be, Philemon contains no data relevant to the historicity of Jesus, so it can be disregarded anyway. As for the other letters, examples of meddling with the authentic Paulines are the many textual variants, interpolations, and rearranged passage sequences, for example in Romans 16. Philippians is the poster child for the latter. The Gospels, Acts, and other epistles have been subject to all the same phenomena. The remaining letters do indeed deviate too greatly from Pauline style to be by his hand or even his dictation. E. Randolph Richards, in Paul and First Century Letter Writing, attempts to argue against this consensus, while in the process usefully surveying all the evidence in the matter. But his premises are ultimately implausible. For example, Paul did in fact use various co-authors for all his letters, yet all of his authentic letters maintain a consistent style. Thus, the fact of his employing co-authors would not explain the huge deviations in the other letters, whereas there are better explanations of them as the product of later redactional activity. That would mean 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, and Colossians are forgeries, although they could include pastiches or edits or redactions of Pauline letters and are close enough in outlook and content to be of the Pauline school, perhaps from the latter half of the first century. And 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are even more certainly forgeries, definitely not from a Pauline school and of significantly later date. Note that Ephesians is widely regarded as a redaction of Colossians and some of the other letters. 2 Thessalonians is likewise regarded as a redaction of 1 Thessalonians, and 2 Peter and Jude as each in a different way a redaction of 1 Peter. But in every case, these are still redactions made by someone later than Paul. Several scholars have also argued that 1 and 2 Timothy, and possibly Titus, were forged by the author or redactor of Luke and Acts. As forgeries, none of those letters can provide any evidence for the historicity of Jesus, because any evidence in them is then by definition made up. They could even have been forged to promote that historicity, or by superficially following the Gospels, simply taking it for granted. Indeed, so keen to deceive were the forgers of 2 Thessalonians, by the way, that they even have Paul in it denounce forged letters, probably meaning, in fact, the authentic letter 1 Thessalonians. This illustrates the importance Christians placed on convincing readers that their forgeries were genuine. Forged letters might provide evidence against historicity, however, since if such they do, it cannot have been by design or presumption, but would have to reflect real evidence known to their authors, who would surely not invent evidence against historicity. But if anyone wishes to argue otherwise in any particular case, they are welcome to try. Of the other epistles, some are of uncertain authorship, 1, 2, and 3 John, Jude, James, and Hebrews, and therefore of uncertain date and reliability. They could have been composed anywhere between the 30s to 130s AD, or in some cases even later, and they could have been written by anyone of those names, None of the authors identify themselves as the apostles of the same names, or as relatives of Jesus, or anyone else in particular. And Hebrews is anonymous. The preponderance of evidence suggests the Johannines, 1, 2, and 3 John, none of which actually says they were written by anyone named John, are late, perhaps early 2nd century, whereas the others could be earlier, but we have no definite proof of that. We just don't know. The best case to be made is that Hebrews was written in or near Paul's lifetime, as I'll discuss in chapter 11. As such, apart from Hebrews, perhaps, these letters cannot provide evidence for historicity, because in such a capacity they cannot be established as either reliable, and thus causally connected to the facts, or as independent of other sources already promoting historicity, like the Gospels. But they could provide evidence against it, if such they do, for the same reasons as the forged letters, as I noted before. Finally, 1 and 2 Peter are regarded as forgeries. 2 Peter most definitely was not written by the same author as 1 Peter. They are far too divergent stylistically. And therefore, we can certainly place 2 Peter with all the other forgeries. In fact, its author certainly knew the Gospels and was therefore not writing independently of them. So we must therefore draw the same conclusions regarding its value as evidence. However, 1 Peter could be authentic. And if so, it should be included with the authentic Pauline letters, because it would be of roughly the same date and by the very man who may have founded the entire Christian religion, having received the first revelation of Jesus Christ that started it all, if we're to trust 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. Few scholars would agree with this position. Most think it's a forgery. But I personally believe it has more merit than is supposed. For the only reason given to assume it's a forgery is that Peter was an illiterate fisherman. But that is information only the Gospels produce, and they have every reason to invent or exaggerate the humble origins of the cult's founder, so as to make their appeal to the masses and their subsequent brilliance look all the more miraculous. Whereas, based on every precedent in history, prior probability heavily favors any religious leader and founder of the period being educated, whatever stories he then told his congregations later. Analogously, Muhammad is often claimed to have been illiterate, and so his production of the Quran must be miraculous. Yet, as the son of one of the wealthiest mercantile families in Arabia, he could not plausibly have been illiterate or even uneducated. The same trend may be evident in the treatment of Peter, especially if the gospel authors wanted to reify the least shall be first doctrine of the gospel by embodying it in the apostles themselves. It's otherwise quite unlikely that the highly educated Paul would defer to the authority of an illiterate Peter, as he does in Galatians 1-2, or never mention the disparity in their educations, and thus their knowledge of the scriptures, in his disputes over who should be in charge. Accordingly, I think assuming Peter was actually an illiterate fisherman requires considerable gullibility. Nevertheless, I have by no means proven the contrary, so I will treat this item of evidence, the Epistle of 1 Peter, as uncertain. There are also letters from Jesus in the New Testament, included within the book of Revelation, which purports to record an extensive hallucination of the celestial Jesus by an unknown person named John, who composed this book like an extended epistle to various churches of his time. Accordingly, I shall treat Revelation as an epistle. Its date and authorship are still debated, as well as whether it has gone through several redactions, but the version we have most likely dates from the early 90s AD and is by some unknown author named John and is almost certainly an elaborate fiction. Revelation 17 describes a sequence of 8 emperors that most suitably fits Domitian as the 8th of them, and the whole of Revelation reads like a veiled commentary on his reign. As such, the 80s or early 90s are its most likely date. Irenaeus corroborates this conclusion. With such a late date, we cannot establish its independence from the Gospels, so it has little evidential value.